The reading before Bruce's lesson is Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. Acts 4, 8 through 13.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus.
As we have been going through the book of Acts and all of the things that that Paul, his first, second, and third preaching events, we see that that everywhere that they go, that they begin to teach and preach the word of God. We see that also in Acts, where we deal with Priscilla and Aquila, as Priscilla and Aquila meet Apollos, and they begin to explain the word of God more perfectly, more clearly. And the reason why I basically chose this subject is because for the last couple of years, I've been basically, you know, speaking to people who are black Muslims, who are from different denominations, and it's hard for me to really understand now how people become callous to the Word of God. But then we here in this assembly, we need to be thankful that we have brethren that are able to teach the Word of God, but not only teach the Word of God, but also show us in the way of their living on how we need to live our lives according to God. But not only that, but also in our actions. I see within the assembly that there are a lot of things that we do. We take care of one another. But in the meanwhile, it's not just because we are separate away from everyone. It's because the Word of God teaches us so much. I basically thought about this, the word ignorant and unlearned, and looking through the dictionary, I looked through Webster's dictionary, where it speaks about ignorant or ignorance, and it's basically the lack of knowledge or the lack of awareness, generally in education or also in sophistication. But there's a couple of scriptures I like to read in this lesson, and I like to speak about also what Peter had done, but also what Jesus had done, and after they had done their miracles, how people who were supposed to be learned, Jews and also people of other sects, really weren't really unlearned, but it just seems that they were not really wanting to know God's word or even that, dealing with money. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verse 13, it says, "Doubtless thou art, O Father, thou Abraham, be ignorant of us, and Israel the knowledge, acknowledge us not through the Lord, art thou our Father and our Redeemer, and thy name is for everlasting." In the book of Acts, where we just read, chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled that they had took the knowledge of them, and they had been with Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, verses 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes that I propose to come unto you, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Again, in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, we see, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And we see that that's basically a true statement, even in the society in which we live in. There are so many different denominations. There's so many different beliefs that say that they have taken this from the Word of God. And when you sit down and you read the Word of God, what they do is they neglect what the Word of God says, and they all of a sudden come up with their own formula. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says, "For I would not have you, excuse me, for I would not, brethren, that ye shall be ignorant of the mystery, lest you be wise in your own contents, and the blindness apart in happiness to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." And we know that the fullness of the Gentiles did come in Acts chapter 10, as Paul began to preach with Cornelius and their household was saved. But we also know Paul continually, and also Peter, continually spoke to the Gentiles, because now we see in Acts chapter 10 that God has no respecter of persons. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant on how all of our fathers were in the cloud, and all were passing through the sea." And as we see, as that's mentioned, it's talking about Moses, how Moses saved those who were in slavery at that time, how they went through the Red Sea. But we also see that in the book of Joshua, we see how Joshua also was able to save our people again, those people again, through the water. But we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And I kind of had pondered just on that. And when you go through Corinthians, you see of all of the, as we listen in the lessons that we've had, ones that Richard was given today, we see that there were so many problems that the Corinthians have. And also in Chris and in his sermon, we see that the Corinthians had a lot of problems. And it's amazing to me that that you see in 1 Corinthians from chapter 11 all the way through 14, where there's a problem with the spiritual gifts, but there's also a problem with what today's society deals with those who call themselves charismatic or Pentecostal language, where there are people that are teaching others how to speak in tongues. And it's amazing to me that we cannot understand that God has, at that one time, at that one moment, has caused that to happen so that it would confirm the message of God. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant, for our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and inasmuch as that we despise even of life." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, "Lest Satan shall get the advantage of us, and that we are not ignorant of his devices." And really, even though Paul is talking to the Corinthians, to the brethren, we see today that we should be aware of the devices, that man has put out there. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, I tend to not listen to Christian radio programs, and also not only Christian radio programs, but also in television. Stop watching television because there's so many falseness. There's so many things that Satan has devised. And as I see it, we give Satan too much power. It's man doing all that. Man is doing those things so that he may able to have some certain benefits. But also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others have no hope. And this will be an area that I'll look at in a little bit, because we need to understand what's going to happen in the end, because there's so much falseness that's out there. The word rapture, and you probably heard me say that before, the word rapture doesn't even exist in God's word. But we see denominations continually saying, well, you know, there's going to come a time when the world is where God is going to come and he's going to get his people. And then those who are in Christ are going to rise. Such falseness when they continue, those who are in Christ are going to rise, but they're going to be those that are going to be left upon the earth. They're going to have a second chance. How can we believe something like that? When we read there in First Thessalonians chapter four about that, and I like to read that a little later on. Then in the book of Hebrews it says he is able to deal gently with ignorant and the wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God and the heavens were of the old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water. And the last one is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years is one day. I just picked out, randomly, basically these scriptures. But as I started, looking at it and studying more, there's more and more and more about the subject of ignorance. And it's not always about it's not always about certain things. So what we need to do is we need to look in the contents of the scriptures and really see exactly what that verse is speaking of, instead of just pulling things out of our randomly. And saying things. Now, in Isaiah chapter 55, as we look in this, in Isaiah chapter 55, it says in verse 1, it says, oh, everyone thirsteth that come to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, and come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do we spend money for that which is not bread, or your labor not? And hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye, and which is good, and let thy soul delight in itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even in the sore of mysteries of David. And behold, I have given him a witness to the people, and a leader, and a commander to the people. And behold, Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and the nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. And this is the area which I basically love so well when I'm listening to how Isaiah is talking to the people. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Lest the wicked forsake your way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And as Chris was mentioning earlier in his lesson, Proverbs chapter, my mother, she had always had me read Proverbs chapter 3, which is, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And the only way that we're going to be able to get that is through God's word. So I can't imagine now in my life, it's been well over 20 years that I've obeyed the gospel. But I can't believe how in my past life, how the things that I saw in many other churches, not the Lord's church, but many other churches, how they are become unlearned and how they become ignorant of the word of God. So let's go to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, where it was read by Joey, we see that there was an issue in understanding really what, I'm trying to do a couple things at one time. Just be patient with me just one moment. Here we go. Acts chapter 4, where we see that Peter and John, they had been put in prison, and as they had been put in prison, we see some of the reasons why. In verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers and people of and elders of Israel, If we be on this day examined for a good deed to an impotent man, that means that he is made whole, be known unto you all that all the people of Israel, that by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is crucified, who God raised and from the dead, and even by him doeth this man stand before you whole." And what they had done, they had healed a man who had been blind and he was at the age of 40, if I can remember. But they healed him. And as they healed him, they are saying that this is not just because of us. This is because of the one who you have crucified. In verse 11, it says, "This is the stone in which he set not of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. And neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heavens given among men whereby we must be saved." And they had marveled about this. And even though they had marveled about it, we see in verse 13, it says, "Then when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." How do you know that they've been with Jesus? Because of the word of God. Because they have been taught, but not only had they been taught, but they're also living the life. But they were also the examples, even for today, on what we need to believe in. We need to believe in the word of God. Because, number one, God is love, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then now we see that they have crucified him. And now it's basically the same thing as what they were doing with Jesus. When Jesus, we look in John, as we look in the book of John, and John chapter 9, as Jesus is teaching, we see that Jesus also, in John chapter 9, we see that Jesus also heals a man. And it says in verse 2, it says, "And his disciples asked, saying, Master, whom did sin? This man or his parents? And he was born blind." And Jesus answered, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him, that I might work the works of him that sent me. While it is day and night, cometh no man to work." But we see, and he says, "As long as I am in the world, that I am the light, and I am the world." So we see that they even questioned Jesus for that which Jesus had done. But it's a blessing to know that here within the assembly in which we come to, that we have men and brethren. We have elders, and you know, that are able to help us understand the Word of God more perfectly and more clearly. So that's the lesson that I wanted to bring to you. You know, we need to realize that no man is an island. But not only that, but human beings, we thrive on being around others. We can't isolate ourselves away from one another. Paul says that we should not forsake ourselves from the assembling of one another. Why is that? That is because when we read Colossians and Ephesians, we come together in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're here to edify one another so that we'll grow in the fullness of Christ. For we have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Now, along with that, I didn't set this up so that, you know, so it'd be just to, so we'll know how to be saved. But in order for one to be saved, he must first of all hear the Word of God. And many times I don't see that people hear the Word of God, but we must hear the Word of God. As in Acts chapter 2, as Peter began to preach his message. And as he began to preach his message, we know that that they were there and they were listening. So they heard what he said. Well, how did they hear? Well, they asked Peter the question, "What shall we do?" And then as they asked the question, "What shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call." And then we see in verse 41, we see that those who heard the message, they were baptized. And 3,000 souls were added. And we see in the King James in verse 47, 3,000 souls were added to the church in that one day. But we also see in the book of Acts chapter 8, where there is a man named Simon. Simon obeys the gospel. But not only does Simon obey the gospel, we also see where Simon walks away from the truth for that very moment. And as he walks away from the truth for that very moment, he didn't ask to be baptized again. What he asked is for forgiveness of sins. That's something that we continually do all the time. We always ask for forgiveness, but there's no need to be baptized again if you understood the message of Christ. So, if we have committed a sin and we want to ask for forgiveness, well, we're a brethren here that will pray for you. And as was mentioned in the message earlier this morning, in 1 Peter, you know, there are things that we need to pick up. And those things that we need to pick up in 1 Peter, and I don't remember exactly how it is, but I got it written down that First Peter. Let me get there. I know I have it here. First Peter chapter 4, First Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity are the things that we need to practice as we become those in Christ. So hear, believe, obey the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of these brethren will be glad to take you and baptize you so that you'll be added to the church. Well, that's my lesson. The lesson's yours. As we begin to sing the song, just hopefully and prayerfully that we become obedient to that.